Welcome to episode 2 of She Has the Courage to Lead podcast with the founder of She Inspires Me Australia movement, Michelle Boundy. Welcome back to the show, Michelle.
Oh, hi, Alan. How are you today? Happy Wellness Wednesday.
Oh, lovely. Thank you. Thank you. And I believe before we get into our talk today, you want to do the acknowledgement to country that that we both support so strongly.
Yeah, thank you so much. So today I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land in which we meet today. I would also like to pay respect to the elders past and present and emerging. So I'm on a Awabakal land today here in beautiful Newcastle in New South Wales. So thank you, Alan.
And I'm on the Darak land in Castle Hill in New South Wales. So we both share our acknowledgements. And probably one other thing I'd like to share and acknowledge is our First Nations culture has 65,000 years of storytelling behind them. So all we're going to do today is actually essentially honour that storytelling, where Michelle's going to share three beautiful stories of some three amazing people, two women and one man, around some how they are empowering the way forward for women in their particular field. So let's go forward with that. And just before we start that, Michelle, what have you been up to? Like, it's been a couple of weeks. It's been a bit of a break between the first episode of She Has the Courage to Lead and this one. We had some challenges around
some challenges.
How to get some how to create a new podcast, and then we had some personal challenges as well, both of us. So we apologise to the listeners that it has been a little longer delay than we thought. But so what have you been up to?
Well, it's been an incredible couple of weeks. Look, I just want to give a big shout out to TEDx in Brisbane. So I went up to Brisbane to have a couple fantastic days up there. Met some amazing people. It's really funny, Alan, and you get that this is so my life, but you're kind of going down one track, and then all of a sudden, you know, with a plan, I wanted to catch up with this person, catch up with that, and it all went out the window. Which then led me into some really amazing people that I'll talk about in on our next edition of She Has the Courage to Lead. But anyway, I went off to TED Talks and had a fantastic time up there. Never been to one before, hundreds and hundreds of people. But I'd just like to highlight some of the people that we're going to talk today are people that I actually met that are market stallholders. So I hate to admit this, but I only managed to hear a few of the speakers at TED Talk. Look, some of them have become personal friends of mine, and I talk to them all the time, but I did feel quite bad about that. But my goodness, look at the connections that I've made with the stallholders from rural, remote Queensland. Incredible.
Okay. Well, you're probably a little bit out of order, but seeing as you've raised that, do you want to go to that person as the first person you want to talk about?
Yeah, look, I think that's a fantastic. I'm really, really passionate about this. And we celebrated my son's birthday, 25th birthday on Saturday. And my sister kind of doesn't comment on my social media, but she's following me, of course. And she says, look, what is it with you and camels? I've never known you to like a camel in your life. What's that all about? But I'm really excited to share this with you. So International Day for Rural Women is every year, 15th of October. It's a day dedicated to celebrating the invaluable contribution of rural women and their communities in the world at large. Rural women play a pivotal role in the various aspects of rural life, including agriculture, sustainability, and the preservation of unique traditions. These women are often not just farmers, they are also educators, caregivers, and community leaders. So I found this really interesting. So according to The Guardian, up until 1949, women could not even be listed as farmer as an occupation on the census. And we still have a long way to go in correcting, Australians' perception. So Australian women farmers continue to feel marginalised. We understand most farmers to be men. So despite 49% of real farm income being contributed by women, isn't that amazing, who have major contributors to modern agriculture since the time that Elizabeth MacArthur was the first flock of Merino sheep.
That's incredible.
I just think that's amazing, because I think everything we think about in farming is historically men. So, look, there was a lot more that I researched around this. It's a really big focus for Sheen's Buyers Me at the moment, regional remote and rural women, and connecting with those women and those networks.
Okay.
And those industries. So,
I think you've got a story there then. at the TED Talks at one of the storeholders, you met a gentleman from Summerland Camels. Do you want to tell us this story? This is quite interesting.
This is just hilarious. So at TED Talks, just to clarify, that there was a massive section where they had all these market stallers. So there was people with jams. There was a guy who made gin, all the food and those kind of things. There was a guy there that had all this, everything in the background was around camels, and he had cheese and meat. And so I couldn't understand what the connection was. So a gentleman's name's Paul Martin, and he has a business called Summerland Farm. So it's situated in the volcanic crater of scenic rim, fertile soils, beautiful spring waters and scenic views at Flinders Peak. So it's near Harrisville. It's about 45 minutes out of Brisbane. So it's an hour out of Toowoomba in the Gold Coast. Summerland Farm is a perfect place to mature our camels and welcome our visitors. Now, I just thought this was just like a little farm. What I didn't realise is that majority of the weekends, they open this farm to the community. So they've got a cafe. They've got Camel Road. They have something like 5,000 people, Alan.
Yeah.
They go to this farm, and I'm thinking, oh, I've never heard of this farm. This is crazy. Because us city folk, we see a camel occasionally, like, if you're lucky.
Yeah.
But to have a farm just blew me away. So the farm has drawn together a diverse group of people who are passionate about our camels, nurturing our land and communities that support us, building sustainable industry, that harnesses that incredible potential of these beautiful animals is what drives us every day. So camels are a big part of Australian history. That was the other thing I didn't know. They represent the hardships and the spirit and the adventures faced by the early cameleers and have been embraced by the Indigenous communities in the heart of the country. Highly adapted to the dry climates and fragile soils, no other domestic animal has been as useful to humans as the camels. Summerland Camels captures wild camels from Australia outback, trains them, produce award-winning dairy and skincare products. Now, this was what kind of blew me away. So I've kind of said to Paul, like, what do you mean? Like products from camels. And I love this. So we've got camel milk skincare, camel milk powder. You're going to love this. Camel milk and honey vodka.
Okay.
And I've said to him, well, how does that work? You know, and they also offer camels for sale. There's a beautiful lady up there who's in charge of all their media and stuff called Kate. So I've been talking to her every couple of days. They're holding their Christmas market on Saturday, the 4th of November. Now, they're expecting something like 15,000 people. It's going to be an incredible day. I think last year Santa come on a camel. There's all going to be like market stall holders. But I didn't realise that. So my point is that Paul, about 90% of his workforce are women.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently the camels just love the women. And apparently it works better. And the women are so passionate, about the farm and everything that Paul's doing there. So he's actually employed a lot of women from the region.
Wow.
So it's just incredible. Look, hats off to him. Hence why I'm talking about it, because Alan, it's not just about promoting women in this community, in this country, and the great stuff that they're doing, but we also want to raise the men that are our change champions that are really driving change in this country. So he could have gone out there and put on 100 men, but majority of his workforce are women, and he just speaks so highly of them, and I loved that about him. They're doing great stuff, and apparently all his products are winning multiple gold awards, and they've gone international.
Yeah.
So he's going to send me all of his skincare, which I cannot wait, because I'm a big goat fan. I'm very passionate about the goat products, and Paul was going, well, Michelle, you haven't tried Camel, so I just thought I'll give it a go, but. Like it's just incredible.
That's a good story. All right. Well, I'm conscious of how much stories you've got to tell still. So I think the one that you were really excited about in episode one was Brooke, the lady in Outback Australia that's done 1600 kilometer run.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us Brooke's story, please, and her full name and the whole story?
So Brooke McIntosh, I'm just blown away by this young girl and talk to her on a regular basis. She's coming to Sydney next week, so I'm hoping to catch up with her in Sydney. So she's 27 and she's from Western Australia. Now, this is a young lady that I've put a lot of support behind. She ran 1,600 kilometres. Look, her story is really, really powerful. She's had her own challenges around her mental health. So on the 20th of August, Brooke started a run from Blue Tree in Dampier in WA to Blue Tree in City Beach, WA, totaling 1,600 kilometres running along the coastal highway non-stop. So she was hoping to do that run in 27 days, averaging between 60 and 70 kilometres a day non-stop. Now, this was to raise funds for 20 Talk and the Blue Tree Project. Now, both of those services provide support around mental health. So they're based around mental health. So Brooke said that she grew up with a mum who went to the fly-in, fly-out when she was 12 years old. Brooke really, really struggled with that. That was a really big transition for her.
Yeah,
she goes on to say that they lost over 200 people a year through suicide on site in this mining construction industry across Australia. And then she says even more so, with 222 young adolescents took their own life in 2021. So we know there's been some challenges definitely with that fly in, fly out in the mining sector across Australia. So Brooke completed that run. I think she raised it was about $60,000-$70,000. Mm-hmm. So what I love about her is not only her age, but her passion, and her passion and sheer determination to raise awareness around mental health in this country, but to really make a difference. And like I said, that Brooke's actually coming over in about a week's time. So I'm hoping to catch up with her in Sydney and actually really capture her story. I've done lots of promotion around her, but I actually really want to sit with her and have lunch and really gain more understanding. I'm really hoping that she'll come on board with She Inspires Me. And what the other thing I really loved is every single cent that she raised actually went to those two charities. So I just want everyone to encourage everyone to have a look at 20 Talk and the Blue Tree Project. Two Perth charities doing amazing things for the local remote communities, aiming to tackle the alarming rates of suicide and bring people together, create safer spaces for people to talk about mental health.
You want to, I think I know what you're talking about, but like some of these podcasts can go worldwide, like anyone who's got an internet connection can click on this and listen to it. So what's you talked about mining communities and you talked about a fly-in, fly-out mum or dad, in this case a mum. So what's that mean?
Yeah, so thanks, Alan, for raising that. So just to clarify, a lot of our mining communities may go on site for it maybe 2 weeks or a month. So you fly into a certain site, you might stay there for, like I said, 2 weeks or a month, then you fly back home.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like living two kinds of lifestyles, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah.
And some of them are very, very remote. So the only connection you may have is your peers, 100 or 200 people at that site. Some mining areas are a lot bigger than others.
Yeah.
But it can be very, very challenging, especially if you've got loved ones, especially if you've got children. And for Brooke to only be 12 and flying in, I mean, that would have been incredibly tough for her.
So do you know Brooke's story? Did that mean her mum left her on her own, or was she with her dad, or who did she get left with?
Look, I guess all I want to add is that that she did go with her mum.
Mm-hmm.
The lifestyle was a massive adjustment for Brooke, who didn't cope that well. And look, on other social media, she's very open about her journey, and that's what I kind of really love about her. I really just want to encourage everyone to look up Brooke McIntosh, either on LinkedIn or social media. Her story is really, really powerful. It's pretty heartbreaking. But I'm pretty, you know, there's a lot of people out there that would really resonate with how she coped. Now, running was like me. Running was her outlet. Not that our backgrounds are the same, but for me, I get a lot of enjoyment out of that. So historically, she's been a runner and a very good runner. And she wanted to use that. And you and I have talked about our strengths before. She's used her strength to get out there and to run. 1600 kilometers. I mean, that's just incredible.
Yeah, that's a pretty good outcome. And it's funny, Brooke is on your website as someone to watch, as someone supporting. She inspires me. And when you see that happy smiling face, and her partner or colleague next to her sharing that joy, you don't get any context that there's a story behind that. And the challenges behind it. So well done to you.
That's right.
Well done to you. We look forward to seeing you and Brooke on social media in Sydney and seeing what you get up to.
I'm excited about that.
So this last one is someone pretty new to your cadre of women who are doing something pretty special. I believe she's a criminal law specialist who does some amazing work around mums, creating a network for mums in law. So do you want to tell us about this lady?
Yeah, thank you, Alan. So this is Lauren Cassie-Matsis. So she's a principal lawyer, director of Galliant Law, Australia-wide law firm. She actually founded that incredible, incredible lady. I only come in contact with her only very recently. This is something that's very, very close to my heart because, as you know, I've got a family full of lawyers. Now, the incredible thing that Lauren has actually done here is started a network called Connecting Lawyer Mums. Now, it now has 1,000 members Australia-wide. So what she did, she started this this networking group, and they attend information, so they invite other professionals who are mums, of course, to attend their events. They seek and give support in a safe and private online forum, have access to helpful resources, connect with like-minded women, and develop your professional relationships. What I really loved about this network, again, like mine, it's free to join up, and it's just different ways that we can connect, whether that's either in person, whether that's online, or whether that's some kind of like a mentorship. It's my understanding it's been going since 2018. The incredible story was that it actually started out for criminal. She's a criminal law specialist. Other lawyers kind of come forward and went, oh my God, I love this. There's nothing kind of, you know, happening in family law, or there's nothing happening in business law or corporate law. And so all of a sudden she was just overwhelmed by the response. Look, now it's just gotten bigger than Ben-Hur. There's going to be a collaboration there because, oh, look, I just think she's absolutely incredible. And her story is kind of very similar to mine, in the sense that, you know, I think it's really, really difficult when you kind of start something new, and all of a sudden it kind of takes off. You know, I just want to encourage, you know, everyone to get around women in business and support women in business, because it's not often easy to do that with other commitments. So she's a mum as well, and they're holding a number of events there. They had one, I just missed it by a couple of days, in Sydney. There's another one happening in February. So I'm really, really passionate about what she does. But I just want everyone to connect with Lauren. She's on LinkedIn, or actually Connecting Lawyer Mums, if you look that up.
Lawyer Mums, is it?
Yeah. So Connecting Lawyer Mums.
Okay, Connecting Lawyer Mums. Okay.
So she, yeah.
And
she's
can
doing,
can you spell Lauren's surname for us, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So the last name is CASSIMATIS.
And Lauren. Okay. All right. Well, that's what I love about this concept that you've got here. This little podcast is a pretty smash and grab kind of thing. You know, 30 minutes and we're pretty well done. I might just tease this out of you. You said in episode one that you do these lunches at a Sydney, at the Wentworth, I think, or one of the Sydney motels. Is that still happening?
Look, I've done a couple of the problem that I've got with traveling so much is that it makes it really difficult for me to kind of sit still for 5 minutes in one spot.
Yeah.
So instead of just saying, well, I'm only going to Glass Brasserie and only on a Wednesday, I've now kind of opened that up to when I'm available and other people are available, to make that more person-centered and to fit into other people's lives. It's going exceptionally well. It's going really, really, really well.
And you talked about, I'm pretty sure you talked about last time, your mentor program. And that was how what's the take up been for that? And can you describe anything from that?
Yeah. So thank you. Well, that's been incredible. What I seem to be connecting with is a lot of new people in business and new entrepreneurs and influencers. That seems to be the big one. So they've come up with a concept. And it's, Michelle, how do I get it out there? How do I come up with a catchy kind of name? So branding and marketing, which is something I've done exceptionally well in the past.
Yeah.
And this is some stuff that I'm going to be working with Brooke on, and want to support the connecting lawyers, mums with as well, and making those connections and getting sponsorship.
All right. Well, I think we're just about at probably the end of our time frame for today, but then anyone, what you just talked about, marketing and branding, anyone, I'd just encourage you to have a look at Michelle Boundy's She Inspires Me Australia LinkedIn page, or on her website, She Inspires Me Australia. Some of the graphics on that are quite incredible. You know, the lady in the green 1950s car, and I love some of the graphics you actually put up on LinkedIn. Like, they're unique. I've never seen where you get them from. So we won't get you to divulge that to the whole audience. but anyone, I encourage you to have a look at that if you're looking at different styles of branding. Yeah.
They tell a story in themselves.
Oh, they do. Yeah. That's very, it's very, very unique. So thank you, Michelle, today. It's a pleasure. And we will revisit this in a couple of weeks' time, because we should be health and challenges. We should be on time for that. That kind of brings an end to today's episode. So anyone who really enjoyed the stories around Michelle's leadership examples from two particular women, Lauren and Brooke, and also the a man, his name was Paul, I think, from
Paul Martin, Summerland Camels.
From Summerland Camels. Check them
big
out.
Shout out to them.
And if you really like today's episode, when it goes live on the podcast, please leave a written review or a star review so that other people can see the merit of the podcast, and that's how the podcast gets shared with more people. So thank you very much for everyone for listening. Thank you, Michelle, and until next time.
Thanks so much, Alan. Take care.
Thank you. Ciao.
Bye.